Harper Audio presents Red Sister, Book of the Ancestor, 1, by Mark Lawrence, read by Helen Duff. Red Class. Prologue. It is important, when killing a nun, to ensure that you bring an army of sufficient size. For Sister Thorn of the Sweet Mercy Convent, Leno Tassis brought 200 men. From the front of the convent, you can see both the northern ice and the southern, but the finer view is out across the plateau and over the narrow lands. On a clear day, the coast may be glimpsed, the Sea of Marne a suggestion in blue. At some point in an achingly long history, a people, now lost to knowledge, had built 1,024 pillars out on the plateau. Corinthian giants, thicker than a 1,000-year oak, taller than a long pine. A forest of stone without order or pattern, covering the level ground from flank to flank, so that no spot upon it lay more than 20 yards from a pillar. Sister Thorn waited amid this forest, alone and seeking her centre. Leno's men began to spread out between the columns. Thorn could neither see nor hear her foe approach, but she knew their disposition. She had watched earlier as they snaked up the west trail from Styx Valley, 3 and 4 abreast. Palathi mercenaries from the ice margins, furs of the white bear and the snow wolf over their leathers, some with scraps of chainmail about them, ancient and dark or bright as new, depending on their luck. Many carried spears, some swords. One man in 5 carried a short bow of recurved horn. Tall men in the main, fair-haired, their beards short or plaited, the women with lines of blue paint across their cheeks and foreheads, like the rays of a cold sun. Here's a moment. All the world and more has rushed eternity's length to reach this beat of your heart, screaming down the years. And if you let it, the universe, without drawing breath, will press itself through this fractured second and race to the next, on into a new eternity. Everything that is, the echoes of everything that ever was, the roots of all that will ever be, must pass through this moment that you own. Your only task is to give it pause, to make it notice. Thorn stood without motion, for only when you are truly still can you be the centre. She stood without sound, for only silent can you listen. She stood without fear, for only the fearless can understand their peril. Hers the stillness of the forest, rooted restlessness, oak slow, pine quick, a seething patience. Hers the stillness of ice walls that face the sea, clear and deep, blue secrets held cold against the truth of the world, a patience of eons stacked against a sudden fall. Hers the stillness of a sorrow-born babe, unmoving in its crib. And of the mother, frozen in her discovery, fleeting and forever. Thorn held a silence that had grown old before first she saw the world's light. A quietude passed down generations, the peace that bids us watch the dawn, an unspoken alliance with wave and flame that lets both take all speech from tongues and sets us standing before the waters surge and swell, or waiting to bear witness to fire's consuming dance of joy. Hers the silence of rejection, of a child's hurt, mute, unknowing, a scar upon the years to come. Hers the unvoiced everything of first love, tongue-tied, ineloquent, the refusal to sully so sharp and golden a feeling with anything as blunt as words. Thorn waited, fearless as flowers, bright, fragile, open to the sky, brave as only those who've already lost can be. Voices reached her, the Pilathi calling out to each other as they lost.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?